Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you've just joined in, you are tuned in on Radio Islam, medium wave 1548, on the show called Al-Zikrayat with me, Tasneem. Ahlan wa sahlan, welcome to today's show. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, we have a very special guest on today's show that I'd like to introduce. Today's show is all about the heroes of Islam, and today we have none other than Sister Aisha Patel, the head of the Al-Imdad Women's Wing, and inshallah she's going to be coming to us live from Bangladesh, and she's on the Burma border as we speak, conducting distributions in the refugee camps, and we're super excited to have her on air with us because we understand how hectic her schedule is being a volunteer worker for Al-Imdad. Alhamdulillah. She's currently in Jamtuli camp, which houses about 15,000 families and approximately 70,000 people in camp. And today, alhamdulillah, they were distributing 2,500 high-quality food hampers, umbrellas, musallas, and, you know, many other basic requirements for these people in desperate need. May Allah Ta'ala make this easy for the volunteers and grant the people of Burma, the Rohingyans, the Rohingya people, Afia, inshaAllah. I think we're ready to go live to Bangladesh, and we have Sister Aisha on the line. Not yet? Okay, let us just take a little bit of a breather while we get up Aisha on the line, inshaAllah. So just speaking about how desperate the situation has become, and how desperate the people have become in those areas, the volunteer workers are working day and night, inshallah, to try and relieve them, inshallah. So let us open up our hearts, make dua for the plight of these Muslims that are in such desperate need. I'm telling you, we're going to be hearing in a few minutes' time about how desperate the people are in these areas, in these camps. And this is just one camp that we're going to be highlighting on the Burmese border in Bangladesh, but there are many camps like this all over the world. Subhanallah. So the refugee problem began, you know, in August 2017, the Bangladeshi government allowed into the country a large influx of Rohingya refugees. And inshallah, Aisha is going to be explaining more the situation and telling us what is happening down there on the ground. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the show, Aisha.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
It's an honor to have you.
Jazakallah
to you, Ameen, for taking the time out of your hectic schedule. May Allah Ta'ala make it easy for you as a volunteer worker and, you know, accept all the efforts and grant afia to all the people in distress, inshallah.
JazakAllah
khair,
make
laugh
again, inshallah, and for us as well.
Sister Aisha, tell us exactly what is going on the ground level right now in the camps as we speak.
Okay, right now we are at the Jamtuli refugee camp, and we spent the entire day here conducting various distributions of food as well as hot meals, etc. The condition is absolutely, absolutely horrific. I have never in my entire life experienced and seen what I have seen today. You know, in the 12 years that I am involved with Al-Imdad and all the different disaster zones that I have visited around the world, nothing can come close to what is actually happening here on the borders of Burma and Bangladesh.
SubhanAllah. May Allah Ta'ala grant them all afia and make it easy for all of you workers out there. I'm sure working under those conditions must be quite stressful for you and for the rest of your team.
Sorry, say again, I can't hear you.
I was just telling you that I'm sure it must be taking its toll on you and your volunteer workers as well, working in those conditions and under those conditions.
Oh, yes, most definitely. You know, today I saw a little child, probably around 6 or 8 months old. The entire body of this little baby was covered in, like, scales, you know. It was, like, yellow scales, literally like an animal skin on this child. So this is all from malnutrition and malnourishment. Horrific, something I have never in my entire life seen.
Sure.
The children, all of them completely, completely naked. I've seen men with no limbs. I've seen ladies without limbs. Nearly every woman that I spoke to and interviewed was a rape victim. So, as you know, rape is used as a weapon of war.
Mm-hmm.
Every lady, we've seen like a woman up over the age of 100 even. Ancient, I saw a lady crouching on the floor, crawling. She couldn't even stand. So the conditions are very, very bad. You've got approximately 1.1 million Rohingyans in Bangladesh. There are 14 refugee camps.
Mm-hmm.
The camp we visited today has approximately 70,000 people, so it's about 15,000 families. So the camps are spread out all along the border. 900,000 of the Rohingyans do live in refugee camps, and the balance are scattered in and around different cities in Bangladesh. But this number is definitely going to increase. The military today told us that this number will most definitely increase, because as the fighting increases on that side, more and more people cross the Naft River and enter into Bangladesh. Many of them say that they feel safe here, and alhamdulillah, they do get some kind of food. But still, you know, it's not the ideal situation. The shelters that are in the camp are just made of bamboo. It's mm-hmm. not brick shelters, it's not tents, it's just bamboo, basic bamboo shelter. All the shelters we went in, they just cement floors. They have nothing. They have no furniture, they have no stove. They're cooking over fires. It's very, very, very basic necessities that they do have.
Sure. So the way I'm understanding, the camp is quite basic in terms of it's just there for temporary provisions, in terms of it has muddy grounds and mostly women and children running around. And subhanAllah, I see a lot of the conditions you spoke about, diarrhea, malnutrition, viral fevers. How are you managing to cope, to deal with all of these problems rising up with regards to their physical health?
Look, Alimdar Foundation, alhamdulillah, is involved in many different aspects of this disaster. So yes, we do run clinics, we run mobile clinics, we do immunization. We have different programs that we are running besides just the food and the feeding. There's madrasas going on, there's schooling that's happening. So we are trying our utmost, you know, to try and assist as much as possible. But, you know, you're talking of over a million people here, so one organization, it's impossible for one organization to treat the entire disaster. But yes, in our capacity, funding depending, whatever we can do, we do our best.
Okay.
But the sanitation in the camp is absolutely horrific. The smell, you know, you see there's lots and lots of mosquitoes. We've heard there's dengue fever, we've heard there's malaria. There was cholera a few months ago, alhamdulillah, that seems to be under control right now. So there aren't any toilets. Alindar has embarked on a toilet project as well. They put up a lot of toilets. We have a section in the refugee camp where our shelters are and our toilets are. But it's still not enough, you know. Whatever Alindar has put, alhamdulillah, is of a very high quality. And we try and provide not just the shelters, so we give them like a starter kit with pots and pans, some dishes, a gas stove. So trying to give them basic necessities that they can, you know, pick up the pieces and start.
MashaAllah, and
but,
I see Alimdad.
It's not possible for us to save the whole disaster.
MashaAllah, Allah Ta'ala accept all your efforts, but I see you working on quite a holistic spectrum in terms of their psychosocial needs, their physical needs, their housing needs, but basically just starting on a basic human level needs in terms of grassroots levels, and this is phenomenal, because you are working on such mass scale. Like you said, millions of people, you know, surrounded in this very confined camps. So it is it's quite challenging for you and for your organization.
Yes.
And just before that, you were speaking about how women have faced sexual and gender-based violence. And how have you been dealing with this on a personal level? Talking, I know you sent me a few interviews that you did with the ladies one-on-one. And I know, obviously, the language barrier is also a challenge. But, mashallah, you managed to get them to open up and speak about what has happened to them. And yes, it's a struggle to talk about and address these very sensitive issues for these women, I'm sure.
Yes. No, you know what happens is when the minute they see a foreigner, and obviously I'm in my niqab, in my hijab, so it attacks them. Because we obviously have our alimdad garb, but I have my niqab on, so they know we are Muslim and we're there to assist them. So I have got a translator with me, so we did walk around quite a bit today into the camp. And, you know, you sometimes just look at someone and you know they have a story. So that's what happened today. I would just stop random people and then get the translator to ask a few questions. And then slowly, slowly, they just open up. And like I said, nearly all the women that I talked to, they told me that either they were raped or a family member of theirs were raped. And rape is very, very common. It's used, it's a common weapon of war that is used in Burma. So yes, they're eager to share their stories. A lot of them is very, very eager to share their stories. There was a lady I met that was 90 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she had lost her entire family. She said her house was burned, her entire village was burned. All the male members were killed in her family. And she was a rape victim as well. I mean, she was 90 years old. Ancient elderly lady. So the stories are absolutely terrible.
Sure. And speaking about rape as a weapon of war, it's a crime of hatred. It's not just about the way the women were dressed or, like you're speaking of it, this is a 90-year-old woman that was raped, showing the hatred. And, you know, and I remember also reading an article where the UN describes this very incidents, and these attacks as a textbook example of ethnic cleansing.
Yes, 100%. What you have happening in Burma to the Rohingya people is most definitely 100% ethnic cleansing. Very similar. I call it a genocide. Mm-hmm. It's like what happened in Rwanda. You know, they just think they want to wipe out an entire nation. That's basically what they want to do. So these are an unwanted nation that have been persecuted for the last 1,000 years, but nobody knows about it. So people just, you know, it has been highlighted now in the last 1 year. But this has been going on for thousands of years. Many, many of these Rohingya refugees have no identity at all. So even though they may be first or sixth or seventh generation Burmese, they have no identification papers, identification cards, passports. They have no such thing because they were always unwanted. So yes, definitely, most definitely, I would say genocide, ethnic cleansing.
And you're saying for years the Rohingya people have faced persecution. Burma has denied this community any chance for integration, citizenship, or basic human rights. And this is not a new phenomenon. This has been going on for centuries now. You know, so Alhamdulillah,
yes,
you know, ease
yes.
their plight, make it easy for them, and grant them afia.
Amen.
I've been reading stats, and they said about half a million Rohingya have fled from Myanmar into neighboring Bangladesh in the recent months, in, you know, due to the violence. So, subhanAllah, this is a real, real problem.
That number, half a million was
old stats,
about 6 months ago. It's now 1.1 million. Yes, 1.1 million now in Bangladesh.
So it's only increasing.
And you remember, Bangladesh is not very hospitable towards these people. Bangladesh does not want these people either. I mean, they have a huge poverty problem themselves. And so it's very difficult for these people. Many of them can't work. The children have never been to school. They can't go to school here. They have no access to medical facilities. So the conditions are not better for them here, but at least they're safe. They won't be killed or burned or raped. They're safe in the camp.
Inshallah. And just speaking about Bangladesh, it's also known to be one of the most densely populated countries in the world. And now they're still dealing with an influx of, you said, 1.5 million refugees, subhanAllah.
Mm.
So that is amazing. Take us through your day. What is your day like working as Al-Imdad, head of the Women's Wing volunteers? How is your day there in on the camps?
You mean my day daily or my day today?
Okay, tell us your day today, how it went today.
Well, I've been to lots of different disaster zones around the world, as you know, natural as well as man-made. We've been in war zones. We've been in volcanoes, earthquakes, all those kind of things. But somehow, you know, war is always different because it's man-made suffering. It's suffering that can be avoided. So, you know, you prepare yourself. Mentally, I prepared myself the entire week before we got here. Karibia kept on telling me, you know, this is nothing like you've ever seen. This is not Syria. This is very different. You're going to see suffering and starvation on another level. So I was mentally preparing myself. But even so, even when we, with all the preparation in my mind when we got here, I still felt I was ill-prepared for what I saw, really. It's probably going to give me nightmares for some time.
Sure.
But we just have to make lots of shukr for what we have. Every time I looked at something that was so horrific, I made shukr and I said, Ya Allah, I thank you for all that you have bestowed upon me and my family and my friends and South Africa. You know, we have so much to be thankful for because I don't think we could manage with and go through the suffering that these people are enduring and going through.
Subhanallah. I think just like you said, having that sentiment of shukr and making shukr for all the ni'mas that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us for here in our country, South Africa. And like you said, just hearing you speak about this, it's like no kind of preparation, psychological, mental, physical, could have prepared you for what you are encountering right now. Allah ta'ala continue to make it.
You know, we have to make lots and lots of shukr. Allah ta'ala continue to use us. And, you know, I say sometimes in South Africa, we're so far away, we can't do much for these people, but at least if we can speak about it, you know, tell family, tell friends, awareness, create that awareness. Because if people are aware of what's going on, then something will happen, you know, some difference will come about. So that is the least we could do, is just create that awareness. Yes, and support organizations like the Alinda Foundation. Because in order for us to work and to carry out these projects and programs, we need the funding. So continuously please support the Alinda Foundation. There are many, many other organizations also that are working here on the Burma-Bangladesh border. So please continue to support, inshallah.
Inshallah. Abba, just in closing, I know you're on your way leaving the camp right now, but just, you know, despite all the unspeakable horror, suffering and fear that you see all around us, tell us about the lessons that you've learned. I'm sure there's a lot of positive and there's khair and there's goodness that, you know, even a situation like this can bring out of. So what have you seen or what have you felt since, you know, witnessing all the violence, the good things that have come out of this situation?
You know, the funny thing is when you look at all these children, they still have smiles on their face. I met a little girl today. She was an orphan. Both her parents were burnt alive in their house in Burma. And she still had the most beautiful smile. She followed me all night through the camp, holding my hand. So with all their pain and suffering, they still have that capacity to smile. I think to myself, Ya Allah, would we be able to do that? We'd probably lose ourselves, you know?
Subhanallah.
But they still have that ability and capacity to smile, to give you a hug, you know? Sometimes I felt like hugging them, but they were hugging us.
MashaAllah, and it just shows their
innocence. Allah gives the innocence.
And shows their resilience and alhamdulillah, their community spirit where they can still bond and they're looking out for humanity to reach out to them. SubhanAllah. And Abba, just, you know what?
Yeah, most definitely. And you know, the Iman is still of such a strong and high, at such a high level. Nearly 80% of the women are in niqab. And we saw many, many, many men in proper sunnah, you know, long beards, big beards. So yes, they still have that call for Allah. And you hear the adhan in the camp as well. You know, when the time for Salah goes, you hear all the different adhans right through the camp. So yes, there is still that feeling that they have Allah, you know. That is why they can continue and go through this kind of suffering.
MashaAllah, may Allah increase the iman and make us learn from their experience, inshallah. And the Rohingyans are an amazing, amazing community. And may Allah Ta'ala give us a little bit of their iman so we can also taste that khushu and that sweetness.
Ameen.
May Allah Ta'ala continue to accept you and give you the strength emotionally and physically to do all the amazing work that you and your team are doing. And may Allah Ta'ala make it easy for you and grant afia to all of those involved and all of those helping, inshallah. JazakAllah so much. JazakAllah khair.
Ameen. Please remember us in your duas, inshallah.
And for coming on despite your hectic schedule. JazakAllah, Abba Aisha.
No problem. It's an absolute pleasure. And please remember us all in your duas and make dua for the success of this mission, inshallah.
Ameen. And anything you'd like to say in closing, just for the listeners out there?
Sorry, say again, ma'am?
Anything you'd like to leave a message for the listeners out there?
You know, what I'd just like to leave with is, you know, to make shukr. That is the most important thing. You want to make shukr for every single ni'mat, the tap that you turn, that water comes out from, the flush, the toilet that you flush. So right now, I'll be honest with you, the one thing that I'm definitely going to make the most amount of shukr for is my bathroom. So that is a true pleasure and ni'mat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you look at how people have to live different parts of the world and refugee camps, and then you think, you know, things that we take for granted, like just like a bathroom, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, make lots and lots of sugar. Teach your children, you know, and tell your children. Wasting is so unnecessary, really, when there's so much of hunger and starvation in the world. So yes, if we can just make sugar for what we have, then alhamdulillah.
Inshallah, may Allah Ta'ala grant us understanding. JazakAllah so much, Sister Aisha. It was a pleasure having you on AIM. Allah Ta'ala continue to use you and accept all your efforts, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ameen, inshallah. Waalaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
There you have it, listeners. That was Aisha Patel, head of the Al Imdad Women's Wing, currently speaking to us live from Bangladesh, and she's on the Burma border conducting distributions in refugee camps. They are currently in a camp called Jamtoli Camp, which houses about 15,000 families, approximately between 70,000 people in that one single camp. And alhamdulillah, today she told me earlier that they managed to distribute 2,500 high-quality food hampers, totally distributed from Al Imdad, and that is why they need funds and they need us to open our hearts and our pockets and inshallah, you know, donate to these organizations and many out there that are doing a sterling job. May Allah Ta'ala continue to use them and accept them for his deen and in the service of his deen, inshallah. And we will be back after the break, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Abdikrayat and you are with me, Tasneem, on Radio Islam, medium wave 1548. If you've just joined us, just before the break, we were speaking to Aisha Patel, who is head of the Al Imdad Women's Wing. She spoke to us live from Bangladesh on the Burma border, and she's there with Al Imdad conducting distributions in the refugee camps with her team and Al Imdad organization. And they're currently in Jamtoli camp, and she just gave us a little insight on what the realities are there in the camp. Subhanallah, and you know, it's shocking as to what the needs, basic desperate human needs. For years, the Rohingya people have faced persecution, and Burma has denied this community any chances for integration, citizenship, or basic human rights. And almost, you know, she said that over 1.5 million Rohingya have fled from Myanmar into neighboring Bangladesh in recent months, and a spike in violence has led to an even greater influx of the persecuted minority. And this is a grave concern and a refugee problem. And if you look at it, you know, the Bangladeshi government allowed into the country a large influx of Rohingya refugees who were escaping massacre by the Burmese military at that time. And the Burmese government claims that it was rooting out Rohingya terrorists who had attacked military posts. Although the United Nations, however, called these attacks a textbook example of ethnic cleansing, classic case of ethnic cleansing. And thus, Sister Aisha, who is on the ground dealing with us on a, you know, on a personal level with the refugees, she spoke about this, and she's been in many different war zone situations in different countries all over the world, but she said she's never seen a situation as dire as we see now in Burma. Subhanallah, you know, this is just shocking. And since then, a massive number of Rohingyas crossed the border to come into Bangladesh, and this is where they are right now, in Cox City in Bangladesh, known to be one of the most densely populated countries in the world. So Bangladesh is already so overpopulated, and now we've seen this influx of refugees coming over from Burma. You know, when I did research and I spoke to many doctors, and when they said that what they saw on the ground, they are treating, you know, war-related wounds from possible mines, and women have faced sexual and gender-based violence yet struggle to talk about it. And this is something that Aisha also spoke about, and she said recently, just this morning, she was speaking to a few ladies, and they spoke about how they were raped and they were abused sexually, and a 90-year-old woman spoke out, and she said the same act of violence was acted out upon her. So subhanAllah, this is the reality, this is what the women are experiencing, and this is what they are facing. And besides the psychosocial abuse and the emotional trauma that they're experiencing, there's also a lot of physical obstacles that they have to endure with regards to flash floods caused by monsoon rains, you know, and this will continue up till early summer. So subhanAllah, this is the most pressing needs, and I think this is what the team, Aisha Patel and her team are doing, and they're focusing on food, shelter, wash, and health care. And like she said, there's many other teams out there that working in different fields with regards to the holistic needs, basic human needs with regards to each one of the refugees and what their needs are in terms of housing, medical assistance, psychosocial support. And this is the reality. This is what they're dealing with, alhamdulillah. So let Allah continue to take them from strength to strength. And what can we do? You know, just like Sister Aisha said, educating yourself with regards to the problems. Educating yourself, reading about what is going on there, and not ignoring the problems of the Muslim Ummah and what they are facing as a whole. So this is something we need to look at. We need to, you know, look around and see what can we do in terms of funding, assisting them with regards to, you know, giving them some funds so they can set up tents and structures and basic homes for these people to live in, inshallah, so they can live a life of substance. And despite all the hardships that they've seen in the camp and obviously the atrocities and, you know, there's been quite a bit that they've experienced, but she said the children continue to smile, subhanAllah, and this is something that we need to learn, that alhamdulillah ala kulli hal, that Allah Ta'ala is with us at all given time. And you know, she just mentioned that how the women are in their niqabs and how they still being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the women and the men displaying their sunnah in terms of their dress and their beards, and subhanAllah, displaying, you know, she spoke about how the iman of these people are still so strong despite how Allah Ta'ala has tested them. This is something for us, and we can learn from these experiences of these people. Because if you look at them, they are stateless. They have no papers. They have no identity. They've just, they basically, what the Burmese government wants to do, they want to wipe them off the face of the earth. They want them to be non-existent. And despite this, they are continuing to survive, subhanAllah. And amidst circumstances driven by unspeakable horror, suffering and fear, we can still see, and we see the best of humanity. And she spoke about those little children holding her hands, tugging onto her abaya, and walking with her through the camp, smiling, showing resilience in community spirit, subhanAllah. So this is something that we can learn, you know. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he will only change a nation until they change what is within themselves. So look within each one of ourselves, including myself, and see what we can change about our daily existence. And inshallah, this can have a ripple effect on the entire ummah. And we see many videos of people fleeing, and you know, this mass killings and rape and arson, and we saw them burning the houses down. And like I said, the UN described the situation as a textbook example of ethnic cleansing, and this is what it really is, where they want them wiped off the face of the earth. Can we even imagine what these people must be going through? There's an extreme violence that has driven them. And these refugees are now across the border into Cox's Bazar, which is in Bangladesh, and it's very close to where Sister Aisha is reporting from. And this situation is not new. This is a generation of statelessness imposed upon these people, which has made them very vulnerable to severe traumas and most recent the crisis. So, you know, as we look at it, you know, what can we do? We can learn from these people. They live in congested sites that are ill-equipped to handle the early rains, the monsoons, the cyclone seasons. And their houses are just being basically blown away because, like she said, they're just there on bamboo. There's no solid cement or bricks. And if we can, inshallah, fund these housing projects, then inshallah, it can become permanent structures for them where they can actually live and carry on with their day-to-day activities. What happens in war, and this is very sad, that women and girls suffer disproportionately during and after war. And, you know, women and children, especially girls, especially the females, we are more vulnerable. And, you know, existing inequalities are magnified. And social networks are broken down, making us even more vulnerable to sexual violence and exploitations. And this is something that we need to speak about, how they're using rape as a weapon of war. And women and children accounted for the majority of those adversely affected by armed conflict, and affirmed the important role of women in the prevention and resolution of conflicts. So I think we really need to humble ourselves before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and say that this human tragedy is a culmination of the terrible way we treat one another on earth. Subhanallah, you know, that one human doesn't even see another human as a human being. They treat you worse than an animal. And it comes out to greed, arrogance, and pride. There must be a collective effort made to look inside and take responsibility for the senseless violence towards one another. Humbling ourselves is a good place to start. And, you know, making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, Ya Allah, make it easy for them. guide them. Guide them to relief. Have mercy on them. Have mercy on us for our sins. And forgive us for our tragedy. And let us be amongst those who only do good work for the betterment of humanity, for Allah's sake, inshallah. Inshallah, after the break, we will be speaking about our heroes and, you know, looking back into the lives of the Sahaba. And one particular Sahaba stands out for me, and it's Nusayba bin Qa'ab, who was nothing short of a hero. And she had a very special place in the heart of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And after the break, we'll be speaking a bit more about her, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome back to today's show on Ad-Dhikrayat. We were discussing the humanity crisis in with the people of Rohingya in the Bangladesh camps, and earlier we spoke to Sister Aisha Patel, and she was talking to us live from the ground, speaking to us from the camps. Alhamdulillah, we back on. For those of you that have just joined us, you're on Medium Wave 1548, coming to you live from our beautiful studios in Lanesia on this beautiful afternoon. And just to mention that the lines are open, the number to call is 011-854-1548 for those of you that would like to add to the conversation. And just before the break, we were speaking about the heroes and looking at the lives of the Sahaba and making their lives a point of reference, inshallah, for each one of us. And the name that came to mind was Nusayba bin Ka'ab, and she was nothing short of a hero. She had a special place in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's heart, and we're going to learn a little bit about her and know why she had this special place in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's heart. She was one of the few Sahabiyat who physically fought in a battle in defense of the Messenger of Allah, and she was also an advocate for Muslim women's rights. Nusayba bin Ka'ab was not only renowned for her courageous efforts on the battlefield, but alhamdulillah, she was also a loving wife and a mother. She was from Medina, so it makes her an Ansariya from the Banu Najjar tribe. Her brother was Abdullah bin Ka'ab, and he was also a companion of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alongside her two sons, Abdullah and Habib. Nusayba was one of the two women who took a pledge of allegiance to Allah and his messenger, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is known as the second Baitul Muqaddas. So when we speak about Nusayba, you know, alhamdulillah, we see a very strong woman. And when we speak about feminism nowadays, we only think of, you know, women of this times. But this we can see that feminism is something that is not new to our deen. And Islam encourages women to stand up and, you know, and to fight and to show their personalities and, inshallah, to be the best versions of themselves. So, speaking about Nusayba, she was one of the two women, like I said, who took a pledge of allegiance to Allah and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And she also took part in numerous major events in Islam, including the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, the Battle of Uhud, the Battle of Hunayn, the Battle of Khaybar, and the Battle of Yamama, which were all very historical incidents in the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nusayba bin Ka'ab is most famous for her brave efforts in defending Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Battle of Uhud. And like many other Sahabiyat, Nusayba was initially there to aid the soldiers during battle. In excitement of perceived victory, the Muslim archers on the hill deserted the positions and neglected Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam's orders to leave their positions. And you know, this is the very example we have when we speak about shura and the importance of shura. And once a decision has been made, inshallah, that even if we don't agree with a decision, we must go with a consensus. And inshallah, there is so much of barakah in doing shura. And when the soldiers left their positions, this is the downfall of the Muslim army. And looking back at this, you know, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered them never to leave their positions. This left Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and a handful of other companions vulnerable to the enemies, including Nusayba. And the tide of the battle then changed. Then, listen to this, and I want you to picture this whole incident. Nusayba then picked up a sword, and she picked up some arrows, and she rushed to the defense of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in doing so, she struck fatal blows to her opponents with her swords and shot arrows at them to protect the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, "Wherever I turned, left or right, on the day of Uhud, I saw her fighting for me." Subhanallah, imagine This was the woman Nusayba that defended our Habibullah, and near the end she was inflicted with 13 wounds. At Nusayba's request, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "O Allah, make them my companions in the garden." Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed that Allah ta'ala make them companions in the garden. What an honor Nusayba was given. She was content when she heard this dua, as this was her only aspiration. She was not only brave on the battlefield, but she also in her advocates, also in her efforts as an advocate for Muslim women. Then she asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's an incident why she also mentioned that Nusayba was nothing short of a hero, you know, and this is why we can see she had a special place in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's heart, and not only in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's heart, but also the Khalifa and the follow, because she outlived Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And just looking at her life, you know, there's so many lessons for us. So let nothing stop you, because nothing stopped her from defending Islam and the message, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I think we have a caller on the line. Assalamu alaikum, Zainab.
Wa alaikum assalam.
How are you, Sister Zainab? And you're calling from Lanesia?
From Lanesia.
Okay, ahlan wa sahlan. Welcome to the show.
Okay, jazakallah. I'd like to say something very important. In all of that is happening, we must all remember one thing. Hayden means lion. Hazrat Ali, the sword of Zulfikar. Hazrat Ali, tiger of Allah. Imam Hassan and Hussein is main chief in command in all young men in Jannat. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu ta'ala anha, chief of all women of Jannat. Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi, warrior of jihad. And also I want to say, is Noah from Bakr, verse 217. Nor will they cease fighting you until they turn your back from your faith. If they can, and if any of you turn your back from their faith and die in disbelief, their work will bear no fruits. This world or the year after, they will be the companions of the fire and will abide therein forever.
Thank you so much for those reminders. May Allah Ta'ala reunite us with all these phenomenal personalities that you spoke about, because they fought so effortlessly in the path of Allah, inshallah.
And Islam will always exist.
Jazakallah so much. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Just speaking about this struggle and this fight in the path of Allah, I think the greatest struggle, and this is what Imam Shafi mentioned, and he said, the greatest struggle is a struggle within, and this is the jihad of the nafs. So inshallah, let us try and change what is within ourselves. Each one of us are fighting demons, and let us change what is within ourselves so Allah Ta'ala can change what is suffering, all the suffering around the world, inshallah. And let us take it upon ourselves as a personal responsibility to be the best versions of ourselves. And inshallah, worship Allah in the best of ways. And you know what really, really stood out for me was when Abu Aisha, speaking from the camps in Bangladesh, spoke about how they have not forgotten their hijabs and how they have not forgotten to follow the commandments of Allah, and how the women, despite having so little, still cover their bodies and cover their faces, and the men are still adhering to the sunnah. And this is what it's all about. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will test us, but we need to hold firm onto those ropes and hold on to the iman that we have. And Aisha also spoke about the level of taqwa that these people possess, women, men and children, and despite all the atrocities that they have faced. Imagine a 90-year-old woman being raped. We can't even fathom the horrific events that they are going through. Allah Ta'ala grant them afia, make it easier for them, but also grant us understanding through the lessons that we learn through them, that inshallah we can also be heroes in our own right, and inshallah, you know, feel that fikr for them, feel that concern and that sadness for them, because this is something our Nabi did. And even if we can't go physically, personally, ourselves into the camps, then our du'as can reach them. And our du'as can reach them from our heart to their heart. So inshallah, Allah Ta'ala make us like Nusayba bin Ka'ab. May Allah Ta'ala, you know, make us like the modern heroes, like Sister Aisha, but they are working in Bangladesh right now as we speak. May Allah Ta'ala grant them, you know, ease and grant them the strength physically and emotionally, because like she said, the trauma that you experience from that trauma is something that only she and Allah know. So Allah Ta'ala make it easy for her and her team, and continue to use them in His path, in serving His humanity. And Allah Ta'ala grant us understanding and make us the best versions of ourselves, so we can change the entire ummah, inshallah. May Allah Ta'ala grant me first the understanding, and from me, Sister Tasneem, and my wonderful engineer, Brother Jahangir, fi amanillah, and inshallah we will be back next week, same time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.